Today on Seculo, Biden is set to unveil a $2 trillion infrastructure plan for the United States. But the big question is, how high will your taxes go to pay for it? We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live.
What the president proposed is changes to the corporate to make the corporate tax code more fair, bring the rate from 21% up to 28%, what it was before former President Trump took office, and disincentivize sending jobs overseas.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Something I think most people, most Americans, don't think we should be doing anyway. If people have alternative proposals, we're happy to hear them. Let's talk about them. This is just the beginning of a process.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
There is a lot to talk about today on Seculo. First, as President Biden prepares to unveil his $2 trillion infrastructure package, where there's a lot of things in there that you would not consider infrastructure. You know, roads, bridges, airports, things like that that need that. I mean, I think if you drive around the country, you know, we need to spend on. That's one thing. But a lot of Green New Deal items in here. For instance, part of the Green New Deal was putting $300 billion into retrofitting affordable housing and constructing and upgrading schools. Some of that is okay. Some of that is Green New Deal. Many of the members of Congress, too, on the left are saying this is not going to be $2 trillion. This is going to be $3 or $4 trillion. Well, how are they going to pay for it? Tax hikes. Now, you may hear corporate tax hikes saying, oh, it's going to go from 21% to 28%. The highest it's been in the U.S. is 35%. So, okay, maybe there. I'm not a corporation. So how does it affect me? Well, if you're an individual earning $200,000 or more a year, your tax rate will go up. If you are married and earning $400,000 or more a year, your tax rate is definitely going to go up under the Biden plan. And remember, those numbers could change when this gets to Congress. And it might have to go through reconciliation. They're looking at summer to get this through. But remember that when corporate tax rates go up, things get more expensive. Jobs move to different parts of the world. They move out of the United States. So even if you're not in that earning category where the tax is going to hit you, ultimately, things get more expensive. It gets more expensive to buy goods and purchase. And of course, to actually create jobs is more expensive. To raise wages gets more expensive. You work for a small business, that small business owner who likely does make more than the $400,000 plus a year, or $200,000 if he's an individual unmarried, he's going to either have to cut wages or hire less people. But you're certainly not going to be on a track to be making more money. So the way that they are getting about doing this, I think Mitch McConnell and others are right. This is a Trojan horse for the Green New Deal and for tax hikes, because most of this is not what we consider traditional infrastructure. We could get bipartisan legislation on traditional infrastructure and I think play around with some numbers on taxes. But to come forward with this kind of a plan, this is the Trojan horse for the Green New Deal. It's the Trojan horse for higher taxes. And people, they try to get you to think, oh, who cares about those big corporations and higher taxes? How many of you out there work for those big corporations? Do you think it's going to be as easy to get a promotion? Do you think your job may move? Do you think that your wages are going to go up when their taxes go up, 7%? And they've got to start planning for this now. So you could actually see at a time when it looks like we're closer and closer to a reopening boom economically, where if everything was on track, you kept the tax rates the same, you kept these things the same, and things would boom. But instead, this could put a big damper on that boom, which also affects your 401ks and the stock market and retirement, the estate tax from 5 million tax-free to 1 million tax-free. So trying to pass on any wealth to your family gets more difficult. Also, maybe hard-earned savings that you've saved for your family to be able to pass on. We're also going to talk about this vaccine passport, because don't let passport confuse you with international. That's how what they're trying to do. This is about state to state, business to business. We're talking about that. We're going to be talking about how Facebook pulled down Laura Trump's interview with former President Donald Trump. So now I guess if you're a news agency, even, you can't post an interview with Donald Trump. I mean, this is absurd, folks. We're going to get to all of it when we come back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To share this broadcast with your friends and family. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, share this now, because we're also going to get into the vaccine passport later on in the broadcast, as well as, you know, Laura Trump, who is now a contributor at Fox News. This is the wife of Eric Trump. Did an interview with her father in law, former President Donald Trump, posted it to her Facebook page. And Facebook sent her a note. We're going to get into this in detail, saying, you know, if you post this, we're going to take it down, and you can't give the president any kind of, former president, any kind of platform at all. My question is, if CNN got an interview, can they post it? Can they post the interview of Donald Trump? Not under the standard that Facebook wrote to, because Eric and Laura made it public what the messages they got. So we're going to get into that. The idea that, think about your own Facebook account right now. And if you share anything with, what, Donald Trump's image, a quote from Donald Trump, an old speech from President Trump at all, and it isn't one of the kind of issues that they've warned people about, but it's just him talking about the border crisis, for instance. And now, will they take down that from your Facebook page? Will they ban you from Facebook? Will they take you off of Facebook like they did former President Trump? It is absurd that a former president is... an interview with a former president isn't newsworthy enough, for goodness sakes, to keep up on social media, whether you like them or not, so that you can see what the former president thinks. I mean, that's just absurd. It's absurd. But we'll get into that further. We'll get into this vaccine passport and, or of course, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about this Trojan horse infrastructure plan? Let me just say off the bat, I support getting our infrastructure up to speed in the United States. That's a part of how we can compete against China. You know, we've been talking a lot about China. That's roads, bridges, you know, the airports, travel, those abilities. And yes, some of that would be construction projects as well in public schools and things like that. But when you look at how they want to do it with public schools and existing buildings, it's Green New Deal type language. And of course, they try to play it off as this will have no impact on middle class workers and you know, those who are factory workers, those who are working blue collar jobs, because they're not getting a tax hike. But the companies they work for are. So how much more difficult will it be to find those jobs, keep getting raises in those jobs, seeing wages go up instead of wages go down? You know, Diane on Facebook just wrote it. She just paid $4 a gallon for gas in California. Please explain how this helps the working class and the working poor. I mean, Harry, you do something like this, it has a direct impact on the working class and the working poor.
Absolutely. So if you listen to Jen Psaki, the president's press secretary, or if you listen to Joe Biden, one thing becomes imminently clear and quickly. They don't understand economics. So, for instance, Jen Psaki suggests raising corporate taxes will help prevent firms from sending jobs overseas. This is absolute nonsense. Raising corporate taxes will mean that average Americans will have to join in and pay the tax as prices go up, for instance. If prices go up, for instance, then foreign imports will rise and U.S. jobs will shrink. So effectively, the Biden plan is aimed at shrinking the labor force in the United States and increasing the labor force, for instance, in China. In addition, the Biden plan will encourage American corporations to move overseas. For multinational corporations, intra-corporate accounting measures will also move money overseas. So President Biden is talking about raising the corporate tax by 30%, raising it from 21% to 28%. That is a 30% increase. In reality, this is a climate change plan masquerading as an infrastructure plan. And at the end of the day, it's important for average Americans to understand that as taxes go up on fossil fuels, which is part and parcel of this program, gasoline prices will rise. And so the question for the American people is how many American people believe they are not paying enough for gasoline?
Wes?
Yeah, I think it's rich that he calls this the American Jobs Plan. His first week in office, with the stroke of a pen on an executive order, he eliminated 20,000 jobs or almost 20,000 jobs. What he is doing is antithetical to economic growth. They have this belief, and it's very obvious that they do, two things. One, that debt doesn't matter, and that big government drives economic growth, not private enterprise. And that is absolutely the opposite of what really works and what has worked in the past in the U.S. economy. People say, well, these things, it'll affect corporations. It won't affect individuals. It won't affect me. What will affect us as individuals is the absolute predictable results of some of these policies. And that is, what will affect us is inflation and unemployment. And with companies and factories going back overseas, they just started coming back to America the last 4 years. So people lose their jobs. And of course, the increased cost of everything. This plan, besides being something that really most of it is not about infrastructure, just like most of COVID relief bill was not about COVID. In addition to that, these policies and plans, if they go through, will absolutely set the American economy back on its heels.
Yeah, I mean, this to me, Andy, when you really look at this and boil it down, and again, we're going to get into the vaccine passports issue, so share this broadcast with your friends and family on Facebook, on YouTube. I encourage you to share because we're into vaccine passports, and really that misnomer about the name there, passport. But what they're really talking about is domestic travel, domestic business as well. It's very different when you're talking about international travel and what other countries may require you to do. That's different. But Andy, I do want to go on this tax issue, because that's really when you do infrastructure, you have to figure out a way to pay for it. And the Democrats' way to always pay for things is to raise taxes. So they want to raise taxes on small business owners, because those are the people that are making between $200,000 and $400,000 a year. They want to, which again makes it tougher for them to expand their small business, makes it tougher for them to at a time when these businesses are still trying to just survive with the pandemic, and they haven't been able to fully reopen yet, to raise corporate income tax. They try to make it like, oh, big corporations can deal with it, it's no big deal. But that has a direct effect on consumers, employees of those big corporations, who aren't the top earners there.
Well, that, you're absolutely right, Jordan, and absolutely does have an effect. When you tax a corporation, moving it from 21% to 28% on the corporate tax, who do you think you affect but the worker and the ultimate consumer? Because who's going to pay for those tax increases that these corporations are going to have to ultimately absorb? It's going to be you and me. It's going to be people at the gas pump. It's going to be people who have jobs. So as Mitch McConnell said, we're hearing the next few months might bring a so-called infrastructure proposal that may actually be a Trojan horse for tax hikes. Well, it is. It's not a Trojan horse. It's not disguised. Tax increases are going to come. Biden said that during his campaign. If you vote for me, you're going to vote for tax increases. Well, they voted for him, and they're going to get the tax increases and other job-killing left-wing policies. Why have we seen the wave of economic growth that we saw under President Trump? Put COVID aside. That was a phenomenon that was unexpected. But look at the tremendous increase in jobs and productivity that we saw under President Trump and the Republican tax-cutting measures. Now this president is seeking to reverse all that in the name of infrastructure. But it's not infrastructure. Where $400 billion care for the elderly and disabled Americans? What has that got to do with roads, bridges, tunnels, airports, and ports? It has got nothing to do with it. And don't tell me that he was against the Green New Deal during his campaign, Jordan. Now he's for the Green New Deal because he says that it's going to be $300 billion into building and retrofitting affordable housing. That is clearly a Green New Deal pet project. So we're being sold a bill of goods here by saying that the tax increases are going to help us. They're not going to help us. They're going to hurt us, and they're going to hurt job creation, and they're going to hurt people who live and try to work and make a living in the U.S.
I'd love to take your phone calls on this, folks. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Before we get into the vaccine passport, before we get into Trump, you know, interviews being taken down off of Facebook, even when it's other people's accounts, which raises a whole host of issues. And we've got the emails because Eric and Laura Trump both released the emails that they received on her Facebook page about the interview she did with her father-in-law, who former president of the United States. She's now a Fox News contributor. But Jen Psaki is saying that a portion that hasn't been announced yet of this infrastructure plan is something, quote, what is sometimes called social infrastructure. What is social infrastructure? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We're going to get to all the other issues as well. Facebook and Trump, the vaccine passport issue, and how it might affect you domestically. Don't be caught off guard with the passport word. Remember, final day of our matching challenge in March. You have until midnight tonight to double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we're going to get into second half hour. We're going to get into the vaccine passports issue. We're going to get into this Facebook issue where, again, you know, they were contacted by Facebook, said, I saw on Lara Trump's Instagram account that she'll be hosting an interview with President Trump tonight. Just a reminder that content posted on Facebook and Instagram in the voice of President Trump is not currently allowed on our platforms, including new posts with President Trump speaking. So just doing an interview. And it will be removed if posted, resulting in additional limitations on accounts that posted it. And then, of course, she posted it, and they removed it. And we've got that email that came from Facebook as well. So you can't even interview the former president and share that on the major social media platform for video in our country, either Instagram or Facebook, because Facebook owns Instagram. And so again, what would happen if CNN got the interview or Fox News just did it as Fox News? Could they not share it? I could if we had, you know, we represent the former president still in our private practice. If we were to have him on this broadcast, I guess we couldn't go live on YouTube or Facebook because they'd be taking it down and then, you know, putting our Facebook page at risk, which is a horrendous place to be in when you're talking about just doing it. What if we wanted to interview the president about the border or the economics of this tax hike? Not getting into issues about the election, just issues of current issues. And forward-looking. But I guess, no, that's not allowed. Even though it's not his voice, like, he's controlling it, he's doing an interview. The interviewer controls it by asking the questions, not the interviewee. And so, again, I think it's just a very dangerous, we're going to get into all that, but I want to get into the idea that Jen Psaki said that some of this infrastructure plan will be, quote, what is sometimes called social infrastructure. Now, Harry, we'll go back to you. Sometimes some of this sounds nice, you know, pre-K for everybody, more welfare programs. They've even talked about a recurring stimulus check that goes out. But all of this really gets down to control, because then you are totally reliant on the federal government to pay your bills if they do the recurring stimulus check. Education-wise, if you got used to these programs, they will never go away. Increase welfare, you know, make it more available to more people. So again, you're raising like the levels of people that are eligible for it. People then again, it's the opposite of trying to get people back to work. It's the opposite of people trying to make decisions on their own. And all this in the middle still of coming out of a pandemic.
I think you're absolutely correct. So if you look at the Biden administration's approach, they are intent on doing one thing: forcing socialism down the throat of the American people. And they want to do it in a surreptitious way. In other words, it's a Trojan horse. So they first want to expand the dependency class, make more and more Americans dependent on the federal government for resources, for income. They want to sever, for instance, a work requirement from welfare. And this will produce reliable voters going forward, and this will enfranchise the Democratic Party as the permanent party in the United States, and they will move the country toward a one-party government, which will resemble, in some respects, not all, what is already going on in China. So China is a communist country, at least officially. They also believe in markets. And so, but as part of the power structure there, they favor certain people. In the United States, the people that will benefit from this socialist agenda are elites, large corporations who give large campaign contributions to leading members of the Democratic Party. And the voice of the average working man or woman in the United States will essentially be silenced. So this infrastructure bill, particularly when it talks about social infrastructure, is indeed a Trojan horse, and it's a poisonous one.
Wes?
Yeah, you know, whenever the government, especially the left in the government, talks about building social infrastructure, the hair on the back of my neck stands up, because I think what that means is they want to design society according to their agenda. I mean, society, social, it's the same thing. So building social infrastructure is they want to design American culture, American society, according to their blueprint. It brings back to mind, you know, the words of Ronald Reagan, who said the scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." That has become, Jordan, the defining difference between the two main political parties in America. One believes that big government is absolutely the answer, and we should genuflect to that and say, yes, sir, three bags full. And the other one believes more in private enterprise and individual rights and states' rights. And all the plans that are coming out, I mean, think about it. We're only in the last day of March. There have been so many alarming plans and trends coming out of Washington, D.C. just in the last couple of 3 months. They are in overdrive with this agenda, which I believe is out of touch with most Americans, which is part of the reason that they keep putting all of these plans and policies and programs built into larger, nice-sounding bills. Because I think if they went out and they were straightforward and honest about what their designs are, about what their goals are, it would absolutely scare most of the American people, so they hide it in these large, omnibus kind of bills. You know?
All right, remember, we're coming up second half hour. We're going to talk about the vaccine passport. We're going to talk about President Trump and this ban on Facebook, even from interviewing the former president. So we're talking about that. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want you to listen to a former economic advisor to President Trump, now back as a host at Fox Business, Larry Kudlow. Take a listen, Byte 18. Very interesting numbers here.
The federal government only owns 5% of our nation's infrastructure. 5%. Private people own 65%, and states and local governments own 30%. So what you've got here is this massive, oversized government. It's like a transformational event. Going back to the New Deal or earlier, it's going to completely change the American economy for the worse. Central planners are going to run our lives, and I don't think that can be a good thing.
No, I mean, Andy, this is the idea here, is that instead of states figuring this out, instead of private people who own 65% of it, this is more of a push to control more of our life. Central planners.
Yeah, central planners, which is what the Marxists were, and the ideology of the Soviet Union was economic central planning. That's what it was. It was an economic theory and an economic-based idea based on Marxian principles of central planning. So what we've got here is we have a veneer of capitalism that we try to sell to the American people, but it's really authoritarian capitalism is what it is. Authoritarian capitalism. When I see words like social structure and social infrastructure, that scares the devil out of me, because what it means is it's getting their fingers, the government's fingers, into your daily life. This is the third Obama administration, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean,
we're in the third Obama administration.
Boone on YouTube wrote in, the Green New Deal, which is part of this program, is to steal our money, implement control over people, centralized control and planning, and make regulations to destroy small business. Couldn't agree more. When we come up, the vaccine passport, get your calls in on that, 1-800-684-3110. Can't interview President Trump and share it on social media. Love your calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge. Ends at midnight tonight. You still have time to donate, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Let me encourage you, this is the final day. And folks, let me tell you, this has been an incredible month for the ACLJ, but you still have time to take part in our March Matching Challenge to double the impact of your donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. Till midnight tonight, wherever you are, you could take part in that. And by the way, for our Facebook, YouTube viewers, and those of you listening in your car right now or on radio stations nationwide, which is most of our audience, at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight on the Jay Sekulow Facebook page, the Jay Sekulow Band's got a special concert for you, as they do to end each Matching Challenge month. And there's two new songs in the concert, so you want to check that out. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern time on the Jay Sekulow official Facebook page, with the Jay Sekulow Band, two new songs tonight. And again, to thank you to those of you who have taken part in this month's Matching Challenge, and also to remind people they still have time until midnight tonight, wherever they are. That's how our system operates. That's how the match operates. Midnight tonight, wherever you are, to donate, and your donation will, in effect, be doubled, because we've got a group of donors that will match. That's why we call it a Matching Challenge. Every donation that comes through in the month of March. I know we're going to get back to this infrastructure issue in shows coming up in the future, but I do want to get into the vaccine passport issue as well. We've got questions, though, about infrastructure, so I want to take those first. If you got calls about and questions about what we mean by this vaccine passport that's being proposed, get your calls in now so we can get those ready at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I want to take this call on the infrastructure program. Patricia in California, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Patricia.
I was curious as to whether or not we are at Congress's mercy with this infrastructure bill, with the things that have been tagged onto it, or is there something I can do as a private citizen to stop it?
Well, what is going to happen here, and Than is not in this week, but I think when we get closer to this actually being put into legislative framework, is that it's going to be very tough to get 10 Republicans on board with this, right? So they're going to have to probably go to either abolishing the filibuster by that point, which they've talked about, or trying to do this through a budget reconciliation where you get around the 60-vote threshold to the 50-vote threshold, and you can use. So if you get all the Democrats plus the vice president can come in and make the tie-breaking vote as president of the Senate, you could pass this. So I think that's probably, they've already said they're open to doing reconciliation and doing it that way. So what has to be done from now until then is to point out everything in this that has nothing to do with actual infrastructure, and how a lot of this is wasteful spending and making more people, as Harry said, reliant, dependent on the federal government. And then this social infrastructure they talk about, this idea with social infrastructure, that, again, central planning comes right out of, like, the Communist Manifesto and the writings of Karl Marx, and it's exactly what China does. And these things, plan from the center for everybody. Instead of taking away your ability, you know, at the local level, state level, to do what's best regionally, locally, for you and what's best for your economy in your state or where you are, it's to do it all from the federal government. And I think it ties into some of these other issues we're going to get into when we come back from the break, like the vaccine passport. So we're going to get into that right away when we come back from the break. But let me just give you a little tease on that. It's a passport that has nothing to do with international travel, because that's something totally different. You know, what another country may require you to do We do a lot of work in, you know, Africa. If they say you've got to get this, this, and this vaccine before you come, you know, it's up to you to, if you want to go, you've got to agree by that country's standards. That's different than what they're talking about is a domestic system. A domestic system run by businesses and states, because Biden doesn't actually want to do it at the federal level because it would get too much pushback. So we're going to talk about all of that and how complicated and confusing that bureaucracy could be for a nation that wants to come out of a pandemic, and it could be booming economically, but instead it could, you know, be that could all be overshadowed by bureaucratic mess. Let's call it that. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to get into, listen, we're going to have a lot of time to talk on that infrastructure because that's just coming out, the idea for it. It's probably going to be summertime when they try to actually move forward with the legislation. So, again, we just wanted to highlight to you what to start looking for. It's not just even the tax hikes. It's also what do they mean by social infrastructure, all these different points. But let's get into something I think could start impacting us right away, and that's this vaccine passport issue, which is all over the news. And I think that by using the term passport, it's misleading. Passport, you know, it you think immediately international travel. Well, you know, in the United States, we could say, you know, what you need to come to the United States, an island in the Caribbean, if you want to take a Caribbean trip after you've been vaccinated, or if you haven't been vaccinated, could say what they require for you to come. That's not in the U.S. They get to make up their rules. They get to decide what their rules are in the U.K. if you're an American that wants to travel there internationally. So it's not a that when we talk about a vaccine passport, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about what it will take to travel internationally again, and will there be some kind of international database. In fact, as of now, the Biden administration doesn't even want to take the heat on having a federal nationwide database. They want to put this passport idea, which is about going to a concert in your own state, or maybe in a state nearby, you know, it's a couple hours away, or staying in a hotel, or getting on an airplane to travel domestically. And they want to leave it up to states and businesses to start making the rules. Now, I think it'll then be really up to states and localities. But how confusing does that become when you're in one state that may not require this, and you want to go to another state that does, So that your state almost is forced then to have to provide some kind of vaccine passport so that you can go even maybe cross state lines and be able to conduct business like getting gas or checking into a hotel or attending a conference, conducting business, going into a restaurant. That's what they mean by passport. They are not talking about international travel. That's something very different. What is required to go to another country? Some countries list lots of requirements and shots you have to get and things you have to provide them to get the visa. That's up to that country. This is a domestic passport is what they're really talking about. And Harry, I think by kicking the bucket here to states and businesses to do this actually makes the whole thing even more complicated, more confusing, and potentially how it's done tramples on a lot of individual liberty rights in the Constitution.
Absolutely. So I think this proposal on its face is designed as another Trojan horse. But if we look at it carefully, it is a corporate authoritarian database which will then be linked to other corporations, to other businesses, and perhaps to foreign governments. So, for instance, I have traveled to Africa. I needed to take a typhoid shot or a cholera shot or yellow fever.
Yeah.
But all I needed was a card. I didn't need a digitized so-called permission slip to purchase gasoline in my neighborhood. And I think part of the problem is in the United States, we have such large corporations and they have such a large database and they can voluntarily link this to the federal government. And so, and I'm not defending Edward Snowden, yeah, but he pointed out some of the problems that we have had in the United States. And I think ultimately we set ourselves up to be hacked by whom? The Chinese.
Right.
And then to the extent that they have that information and they can then link it to other healthcare information about us as individuals, this is very, very dangerous. And this means that the American people could fall prey to authoritarian control, not necessarily from government directly, but from corporate authoritarians.
Yeah, and they're being supported by the federal government. I mean, I think that this is an interesting question coming in. Shantae in Nevada on line four with some information out of Nevada. Shantae, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So me and my husband were talking about all this last night, and we were kind of wondering, like, with the direction that all this stuff is going, what do you guys think about driver's license? Because if you now have to have, or some places are trying to make it where you have to have the vaccine to travel, which we will never take, what about being able to get your driver's license? I mean, if you can't go from state to state without a vaccine, what happens then?
Well, I mean, first of all, it would trample on your right to travel and interstate inside the United States, but a constitutional right. You have a right to move. You have a right to travel. You're not stuck in a state. That's part of your constitutional right. That if you get a, if you want to go somewhere else to visit people, it's all part of the United States of America. It's why we have a United States of America. If you want to move to another state for a job, you have the right to do that. If it better, you know, to better yourself, your family, put them in a better spot, you have these rights that are enshrined by the Constitution and Supreme Court precedent. The question then becomes, though, is can you go into the DMV if you don't have the vaccine certificate, or at least a note from a doctor saying that you have conditions, because there are people that literally cannot take the vaccine. They just can't. And I'm not taking some pro or anti position on this. I'm just saying there are some people that can't take the vaccine. They for health reasons. So I guess they would need some kind of doctor's note and have to keep wearing a mask or something. But the idea is, if you can't even go into the DMV, then you can't get a license. You can't legally be driving a car. I mean, this poses a lot of problems, Wes.
Yeah, ramifications are really, really, you know, unpredictable and extensive. And Jen Psaki, I'm sorry, I have never seen a press secretary in my lifetime, and I'm old, parse words the way she does. You have to listen so carefully to what she's saying, what she's not saying, and the nuances. Because when she says, which she did, that concerning this passport, vaccine passport, well, we will defer to companies individual corporation and to the states. This administration, the federal government, is in hyper mode of controlling companies and states. And so that is not very, very reassuring to me when they say that.
No, I mean, you know, the shutdowns, the closures, this, that. This is Jen Psaki, Byte 14.
There will be no centralized universal federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
Wow. But all that is that you won't have to have one specific credential because everybody gets kind of like different cards and different vaccines. But it goes on because she gets questioned about this vaccine passport issue. Take a listen again to the Byte.
We expect, as Andy Slavitt, I think, alluded to, that a determination or development of a vaccine passport or whatever you want to call it will be driven by the private sector. Ours will more be focused on guidelines that can be used as a basis.
Guidelines. So they're going to control it.
Absolutely.
I mean, Harry, there it is. We're going to tell you what you need to have to meet the federal standard.
So I think it is clear, and I think Wesley is onto it, that Jen Psaki believes in the creative use of language, in meaning, of course, that she believes in duplicity. And I think it will be clear and clearer, I should say, to the American people that the Biden administration is becoming the most duplicitous administration in U.S. history. And so we should take every single statement made by Jen Psaki and President Biden with huge grains of salt, because at the end of the day, they do not fundamentally believe in the rule of law. They don't fundamentally believe in the Constitution. Notice what she said. She said, "We will provide guidance." That means they will provide control. But then when things go south, they will then blame it on those corporations which were guided by them.
I think it could get so confusing to have different states, different businesses requiring different things to show. But, you know, it's one thing, again, this is not talking about international travel when they use that word passport. And a passport implies international travel. So you can prove you're a citizen of the United States, you get a passport to travel on. When you travel to a country, some countries, that's all you need. In other countries, they require you to get lots of shots and records of those to get a visa, or you have to have at least the card with you that says you've received those shots before you travel there. So again, that's international. That's a whole different issue that we could get into about how this reopening of the world is done. But we're talking about domestic travel here. We're talking about even inside your own state, can you go do something? Or will the business require you to have this, this, and this? And that's being encouraged by the federal government. You can imagine how complicated this gets. Who issues that card? Is it the card you get when you get the vaccine from the CDC? Is it some other card? It's got to be universal. Is one vaccine better than the other now? And we learn things later that this one's better, so you have to go get that one too. I mean, the question that becomes a lot of questions and a lot of problems with that. And it scares people as well about their ability to reopen the economy. We get back, we'll continue to take your phone calls. Support our matching challenge. Final day to do so. Donate online at aclj.org and double the impact of your donation.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get into this issue with Trump, the interviews, but I do want to take calls on the vaccine issue. This is an interesting call. Stacy in Oregon on line one. Hey, Stacy, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Stacy.
I have a question about why we couldn't just continue to provide testing for travelers using proper PPE, provided testing when right before we travel with our regular passport. I don't understand why they're trying to force us to buy yet another passport.
Well, see, this is not the thing, Stacy. You're talking about this is not about international travel. Stacy, this is talking about you literally having to have another document to conduct business even in your own state. So we're talking about travel like down the street to the gas station, to be able to walk inside the grocery store, to be able to go inside the concert hall, to be able to go inside or your kids to go to school and inside the school building. In the fall, when school is hopefully, you know, reopens everywhere, what will they be requiring? So this is not even what you need to do to cross state lines, though that will certainly become one of the issues too, because, you know, some states have already come out and said, no way, we're not going to do this. Florida's not going to, has already said, we're not doing this. But what if a citizen in Florida needs to go visit family in New York, or they, you know, things are reopening? Who is going to issue what? And New York requires this, this, and this. So does Florida issue it? Does New York issue it? A private business issue it? Something you got to buy? This is when you get into issues, Andy, that become so complicated legally, they become and it becomes very difficult for people to comply with.
That's right, Jordan. And a lot of these issues raise matters of constitutional proportions, because the Constitution of the United States says that each citizen is entitled to the privileges and immunities of all citizens. As you said earlier in the broadcast, this is the United States of America. We don't put up barriers and borders. We call them boundaries between states. And so what are we going to have? People at Border Patrol saying, let me check your card to see if you can go from Atlanta to Nashville to see whether or not you're allowed to travel. This is the kind of misguided thing that the Biden administration has just laid out there. And what worries me is when they use the words, we're going to let the federal government set some baseline guidance. That's code word for control. Yeah,
Larry's got an interesting question in Ohio, and I could actually see exactly what he's talking about. Hey, Larry, welcome to Seculo.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. I appreciate your letting me ask this question. I believe in what you guys are doing. I want to say God bless.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
My biggest thing, and I have supported, I want to do more in the future.
Thank you.
My question is, when I was stationed in Germany, we wound up having to go through checkpoints between countries to verify our passports and so forth. Are we looking at this kind of thing here between states? And
yes. That's what we're talking about here, is that at the state level, from state to state travel, and even inside your own state, to be able to go into a building, to go into a private facility that has a sporting event, a concert, to go back into your office that you may work in, that you may have been working from home, all of that at the local level. But I can also imagine a state like New York or California, a blue state, saying, we don't care what you're saying, Florida. In fact, you're so pro freedom down there, if your people want to come up here, they're going to have this, this, and this. In a sense, Harry, forcing Florida to create this, even though Ron DeSantis has been so out front saying absolutely not, But then what do you do when your citizens need to travel to another state that says you got to have this, this, and this from your state or from some authority?
I think you raise a very, very good question. It's all about control. So ultimately, we may face the ironic situation that you cannot travel freely in the United States without a digital vaccine passport unless you can prove that you are an illegal immigrant. Because if you're an illegal immigrant, more likely than not, the rules in most states will be inapplicable. And you see that taking place with respect to making in-person learning available to illegals in California while denying in-person learning with respect to American citizens. So ultimately, it's about control. And at the end of the day, if you read the information that is out there on the internet, many on the left, they are fully embracing this. Why? Because they want to be able to control the movements of conservatives. So at the end of the day, it's very, very possible if a digital passport is made possible for every single citizen, then it will be discriminatorily enforced. And I think that will weaken our democracy.
And before we say that could never happen in America, I remember when I lived on the West Coast, and from time to time I would drive from Washington State or Oregon down to California. They actually have border people going into California from those states demanding to know whether or not I'm carrying fruits and vegetables into the state of California. Yep. And during the height of the COVID crisis last spring and summer, I traveled to a town which shall go nameless in North Carolina. And at the city limits of this city in North Carolina, they had their police station stopping every car. And their question to me was, what business do you have here?
Yeah.
It sounded like the Gestapo in Germany.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you have. You set up these states that are more on the blue side. And if they have blue state, you know, governors, Democrat governors, to start implementing this. And yet you live in a red state that borders that state, then the mess becomes that much bigger. And of course, a lot of this would be litigated, because it's not about whether or not you should or shouldn't get the vaccine and what's required for, you know, your business, for you to go back to work. That's one thing. We want states to create the database, or states to put in the regulations. We'll just have some guidelines for them. I think where you get into is you get into all the legal issues that can be raised at the, you know, up to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary, but also how this could totally put a damper on the reopening of America. But I want you to take away from this show one thing. When you hear vaccine passport, stop thinking international travel and start thinking about what Wes just talked about. Think about counties putting out their police forces, cities putting out their police forces, states putting out their police forces, asking the question, have you been vaccinated? Do you have proof of that vaccination? What are you going to do here? Where are you planning to go? And then, of course, you know, you want to go to a concert. Have you been, you know, what do you need to show for this concert? What do you have to take with this? What do you have to do to go into your local grocery store? That's what they're talking about, but they're using the word passport to try and fool us, to try and fool you. From this moment forward, no longer be fooled if you've listened to this broadcast. We will get into this Trump thing on Facebook more tomorrow on the broadcast, but needless to say, the fact that his daughter-in-law, who is now employed by Fox News, posted that she was going to interview him and then post it to Instagram and Facebook. And then she got the message, I'm holding my hand, from Facebook saying, if you do this, we're going to take it down because President Trump is not allowed on our platforms, including new posts with President Trump speaking. Think about that as we will get to it tomorrow on the broadcast. You can't post things of President Trump speaking, or else it will be taken down, and then your page might face further consequences and limitations. Remember, final day of our matching challenge. Donate today. Match double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. Don't forget the Jay Sekulow Band concert tonight on YouTube on the Jay Sekulow page at 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.